It was in the summer of 2001. I was in the United States of America. I was in my home. And I was sitting in my lazy boy chair, reading my Zman, or its non-Jewish counterpart. And I was reading this story about some mafia guy going to jail, breaking out, one of these very exciting stories. I was tefillin the sugya. And all of a sudden it hit me, it was very quiet in the house. And I picked my head up out of my magazine, look around, and I realized that no one else was home. And it started building up within me. A big taiva. I tried controlling myself. It's getting very difficult. I was sweating. I was shaking, trying to hold on to the edge of that chair. I couldn't control myself anymore. I jumped up out of the chair, locked the doors of the house, shut all the shades. Tried a few more times to, you know, relax myself. No success. Finally, I couldn't control myself anymore. I run into the kitchen. I grab a glass off the shelf, fill it up with ice. And of course, that whole shayla, if it's, you know, I'll make a bracha, I'll make a bracha on something else. I open up the fridge, reach into the back shelf of the fridge, pull out the bottle, pour myself a glass. I drink a delicious, freezing cold cup of blood. You guys don't have that taiva? There's a Gemara in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the last Mishnah in Makkos, where the Gemara is speaking about the Fika Kevilam Taira Mitzvahs, where the Eivishka gave us extra mitzvahs. Now, the regular pshat might still be pshat, but the way we think about it usually is that Hashem wants to give us schar, so He gives us a lot of extra mitzvahs. Being the people that we are, I shouldn't be saying this in public, but in my mind, I'm just thinking, you know what? God, thank you very much. Merchel Tovis, keep the mitzvahs to yourself. Let me do what I gotta do. Don't give me any extras. But I don't think that's... There might be pshat, but I think there's a better pshat. And this is what the Gemara is saying. There are mitzvahs out there, there are things out there that a person, be'etzem, does not have a taiva for, does not have a desire to do it. And we see the Gemara in a second inside. And the Gemara says like this. It says is, Rak chazak l'zvulti echol as adam ki adam hu ha-nefesh. There's a mitzvah not to strengthen yourself in order not to eat blood, because blood is the soul. Right? And Uma es adam she-nafshe she-adam katzin menu. The blood is something that a person is naturally disgusted by, it, right? In order to have a taiva to eat blood. Right? Now, yes, it might get a little difficult. You have to check the egg before you eat it because there might be blood inside. But it's not one of the hardest mitzvahs out there, right? You don't want to eat the blood, right? If I told you there's blood here, you wouldn't eat it, right? And the same thing goes for bugs, right? No one has a desire to eat some delicious cockroach. Just, it's not out there. And what happens is the Eibush said is like this, and you get tzchar for it. Why do you get tzchar? Because Hashem was here b'lam Torah mitzvahs. Hashem added to them extra mitzvahs that they should, things that they anyways don't want to do, you might as well get a mitzvah for staying away from it. So yes, you may have to work a little harder to check the egg so there shouldn't be blood in it, but you get schar for it, for something you don't want to do anyways. And there are many, many mitzvahs like that. And before we continue with the rest of the Gemara, I want to tell you a true story that happened to me personally. This story happened in the summer of 2002 or 2003 in the Ukrainian forest. I was in a camp called Machane Shuva, which is a Kiryat camp for Russian children. Before we go further in the story, just to explain you a little bit about Ukraine, Russia, if you've been there or really been there, not just, you know, flying through. When you go into a store in Russia, there's four aisles in the store. One aisle of food, one aisle of regular drinks, one aisle of beer, and one aisle of vodka. That's the whole store. All right? And they're that's how they live their lives. Their lives are, they're drunk all the time. And another part of Ukrainian life is that they're very into whatever little family they have. They're very into, like, respect to the family and celebrating, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, like Yom Kippur by us. Anyway, so while we were in camp, there was one of the campers there was having a birthday. One of the older campers was having a birthday party. And they were planning on having this birthday party in the forest on the outskirts of camp. And they were obviously going to get very, very drunk over there. And I, Baruch Hashem, do not drink. And especially not in front of Russian children who were trying to make a car of them. So I was sober. And we decided we're going to go to the birthday party just to show respect to them and, you know, wish them happy birthday and pack out. So when we get to the birthday party, and there's everyone there is drunk, except for yours truly. And this guy comes over to me by the name of Vladik. Okay? Now, to describe for you Vladik, Vladik had this huge, long, curly hair. He smelled like a Russian, sounded like a Russian. He was Russian. Now, this guy, Vladik, was quite drunk, and he put his arm around me, an experience I don't wish on my worst enemies. And
this guy was the giddy?
Yeah. And he, as he puts his arm around me, he starts crying to me. And he says to me like the following. He says, "You, Avram, you're the biggest tzaddik. But me, Vladik, I'm the biggest Russia." I'm like, okay, not bad. Keep buttons in the back of my frock. I'm good, I'm down. And he goes, he starts explaining to me why am I a tzaddik, he's a Russia. He goes, you keep Shabbos, you keep kashrus, you daven, you put on tefillin. Says, me, Vladik, I know all halachas Shabbos, he tells me. I learned it in camp, I know all the halachas. In camp, I keep Shabbos. But when I get home after camp, the first Shabbos, I keep Shabbos, usually I can make it through one Shabbos. By the second Shabbos already, I'm only keeping half of the Shabbos. And by the third Shabbos already, I'm not keeping Shabbos anymore. I'm a Russia. At this point, due to his integrated state, we ended up somehow on the floor of this makeshift tent that was made out of like a blanket or something like that. And he starts telling me something which is unbelievable. Vladik tells me, he said, "I want to tell you a secret that only three people in the world know." Or the last time he got drunk, maybe told someone else, I don't know. Three people in the world are the only people who know the secret I'm about to tell you. He says, "My name is not Vladik. My real name is Ephraim. My father, he's a goy. My mother, she's anti-religious." Push up your phone. Wife, I wish me good luck. "And my father's a goy, my mother's anti-religious. And the day that I turned 13, the day of my bar mitzvah, on my way to school, in the morning I stopped off by the Moyle's house. I got myself a bris milah. They named me Ephraim. And then I went from there, I went to school. And that day I played soccer and basketball, nor that no one should ever guess that I had a bris, so I shouldn't get in trouble." Now, lying on the floor in a Ukrainian forest in the middle of the night with drunk people around you is not the most inspiring time to think of a good response to such a comment. But Baruch Hashem, David should put in my mind, and I respond to him as follows. I said, "Vladik, let me tell you something. You say that you're the biggest Russia, and I'm the biggest tzaddik. Right? Because I keep Shabbos, you don't. Let me tell you something. Of course I keep Shabbos. I gotta be nuts not to keep Shabbos, right? My family keeps Shabbos, my friends all keep Shabbos, my whole society, we all keep Shabbos. If I one day wake up and say I'm not keeping Shabbos anymore, I'm out, right? Now I could be able to find new friends, but why would I do that for, right?" He said, "You, Vladik, you gotta be nuts to keep Shabbos, right? Your father doesn't keep Shabbos, you better not. Your mother doesn't keep Shabbos, your friends don't keep Shabbos, your neighbors don't keep Shabbos. Of course you don't keep Shabbos, right? But you're not going to catch me getting your bris at 13 and going to play soccer and basketball afterwards. No way. Right?" So, what was the point I was telling him? Is that it may seem, right, that people are doing better. People are doing more. Right? But every person, depending on their situation, what they did, and what they're up against, is what he called, is what really defines who's considered a tzaddik and who is not such a tzaddik. And if you go back to the Gemara says as following. We're going to read again the first part just to have a flow. The blood that a person is disgusted by it, if he stays away from it, he gets schar. Gezel v'arayis, stealing, and arayis. And a person is as a tiber for it, and he's beloved by him. A perish man, someone who stays away from it. Alachas kama v'kama, certainly she yiskelo v'le deroysov asiv kol deris. He will get schar for himself, for the generation after him, and for all the generations till the end of generations. He will get schar for what he's done. in the generation, I don't like talking about riots and people like saying, you know, nowadays the biggest necessary never was. I don't know what happened in Rome. It sounded pretty crazy to me out there. So I don't like comparing, saying it's the biggest necessary never. But I must say that when we were growing up, and people older than me growing up, that for us to be nichshol and eye candy, the chulu, right, we had to work hard for it, right? Go places and get things. It wasn't that easy, right? And your generation, when you guys were growing up, it's right there in your pocket. You have tons and tons and tons of stuff that's just bombarding you. It's just bombarding you, and you have a rice mamish literally at your fingertips, and you know, preaches and thingy, you know, just keep moving your finger, swiping away, and it just doesn't end, right? We're gonna see soon. We have a lot of the statistics here. We'll hopefully get to it later. And the society you're growing up with, everyone in America, here in itself, not so much Baruch Hashem. If you know, here in Yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, Yeshiva keeps you, teaches you how it's possible to live without it. But in America, everyone has it, and your whole society has it, and everyone in the street has it, and you can't talk to anybody anymore. No one answers emails anymore because everything's in WhatsApp, and it's very difficult. But if you guys will take the moment and protect yourself and do what's right, make a filter, right? It's very, very possible that you guys are more chashuv than the dor before you, right? Because you're facing something that's much more difficult. And if you stand by it, it's much more chashuv. Now, Rabbeisai, we're not here just to discuss today the nesiones of today, what's going on now, how to deal with it today. Because if someone would tell us 5 years ago where we would be today, no one would believe them. Right? 10 years for sure now. How fast this snowballed and became into something bigger than itself that no one in the world knows how to deal with it. Not by the Yidden, not by the Goyim. And there's no way of knowing now what's going to be in 5 years from now. Right? I had this conversation with a friend of mine, how to teach children, you know, discuss internet and things like that, how to teach children how to deal with it, right? The question was, not for all right now, but the question was basically, do you give a child a phone and teach them how to use it smartly, or do you keep them away from it, right? And the answer I came up with is what we're talking about now, as I said, is even if you would give a child a phone and teach them how to use it, you're wasting your time. Simply because in 5 years from now, when the kid's at that point where he has to know how to use it, the phone might not be the issue. It might be something else. It might be the refrigerator. Who knows what's going to be there? So what we need to do is we need to come up with a game plan, a method, a mahalach, an understanding in what this issue is and how to deal with it with whatever's going to come our way. The mistakes that we have today and the mistakes we're going to come across in the future. I think the best mahalach when it comes to technology, and it's really for everything in life, is it's about choosing and making sure you're in control of your choices. I know someone whose son, a young child, decided he wants to smoke. Right? Abba, I want to smoke a cigarette. So the father answered him as follows. He said, I have no problem, I'll even buy you your first pack. But I need you to answer one question first. Explain to me why someone would take something that he has no time for, develop a taste for it, and then be in a position where he has no control over it, and he can't stop it anymore. Right? As soon as you can answer that question, I'll buy you your first pack of cigarettes. Now, our conversation today is not about smoking, right? But it's about this, right? We have a device. And the question is, how much of it is our choice, or how much of it we fell into because that's what the company is offering, or that's what our family plan has, or that's what it just is. Did we think about it? Did we decide that's what we want? Is that what we need? Or do we end up with a lot of stuff? A lot of stuff that we shouldn't be having and we don't need it, right? Now, I don't know when you guys started with your smartphones, what you got it for, but I'm assuming now, when you're holding a life, right, you need your WhatsApp, you need your games, you need your sports, or whatever you need, right? But there's a lot more in there, that you don't need and you don't really want. But we're dealing with it, and we have it simply because it's there. That means we didn't choose. Right? It was either chosen for us or it happened. If you want to be successful, right, overcome this issue, you need to decide. You need to think about it, go through your device, go through what you have, and see how much of this I need, how much of this I want, and get rid of the rest. Baruch Hashem, nowadays there are tools out there that can help you, that could help you overcome this, to help you as a tool. Now, the point is that what we have here is that the way we define it also is that Bachur who's in Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva, who's shtag the whole zman, is at a certain place, a very good place. And unfortunately, is that good place doesn't always stay with him the entire time. He goes back to America, Ben Isman, and 2 o'clock in the morning, when he's in his room, right, he's not always holding the exact same good place that he's been when he's middle of his man, middle of a ship. So what we do is, what we try to help you with, the filter is basically helping you stay in that good place, in that good position, even when the times are rough. Yes, it's a big sacrifice to put on a filter to protect yourself or to change things, but it's worth it. You do not want to throw out your year and age of soil for nothing. Now we're going to discuss a little bit what tools there are out there. First thing is, I'm going to try starting from the top. I don't have all the details with me right now, but for someone who's willing to go all the way and get rid of this phone entirely, there are phones in America, flip phones and things like that, that do work. And with the 4G, don't laugh, there's people out here who's done it. The last day the 48 guys did that. And after that, there's a phone, it's called, Smart Connections. Smart Connection is basically, it's not a filtered phone, thank you, it's not a filtered phone, but it's a phone that's only giving you the good stuff. It's much better than a filter bad sim, because a filter has to fight, you know, trying to block out stuff constantly. This is only giving you apps and things like that are very good. After that, there are, now I just want to clarify one thing that really belongs at the bottom of the list, but we're going to put up on top of the list in a certain situation. Apple restrictions. Very clearly, Apple restrictions is not a filter. It is restrictions, as its name. It has a new name actually now. They came out with new technology for Apple. It has a lot more in it. That has Apple restrictions in it. It's called Screen Time. It has Apple restrictions in it as well. You could block certain hours and you could block certain apps as well. If they know how to do it, but it's a step up they've taken. I'm gonna try to do tshuva, but they have a lot more to do. Now, Apple restrictions, we only recommend it if someone's willing to block his App Store and put his browser on a whitelist. Because, again, as I said, Apple restrictions is not filter. So if you have a lot of things open and you want to have access to a lot of things, you're going to be having a lot of issues, because it's an all-or-nothing game with Apple restrictions, right? But if you're blocking everything, you want to have just your certain apps, we're totally kosher, WhatsApp and things like that, then you can go with that. After that, there's two filters. There's one called NetSpark. As one called Gentech. The differences is up and downs, different opinions. Officially, Gentech is known to be better. It is more expensive. We'll get to that in a minute. Gentech is, let's say, $13 a month, which over Ben's mom, you need 2 months, would be $26. And NetSpark is going to be, Be'ezras Hashem, I think we're getting it for $15 for 2 months. Both Gentech and NetSpark work on Windows computers, on Android and iOS, on Apple phones. I would not, this time I think it's not good that we should get involved with NetSpark for Apple. If an Apple device, it's probably better just to go with Gentech. Another last thing between NetSpark and Gentech is just a technical one, is that we started something here with Baruch Hashem, spread to other yeshivas and seminaries, and we call ourselves View Like a Jew, right? And I'm officially the admin of View Like a Jew, and we have a very large account in NetSpark, and what we do is basically you send your request to come to us, and then we open it up for you, right? So there's a very big mile with that, and the mile with that is that, A, we know who you are, basically, so certain things you request, we know you're in trouble, and we'll send your friend a reminder how it was back in Eretz Yisrael, and also certain things, you know, we'll take care of you till the end, because, you know, it's someone you know. As of now, Gentech, I don't have it, because the back end of Gentech is much more complicated. I officially have an account, but I don't know how to use it. So at Gentech, the way we usually do it is we put a password on it, then you send a request, and then I tell them to open it up. It's a little bit thingy, one extra little step. Officially, they say also NetSpark is officially slows your phone down a little bit. It's a machlokes. The company claims it doesn't do it at all. Some guys claim it does it a lot. A bacher told me a very good line. He said, if a guy doesn't want to have a filter, it moves your phone. If a guy wants to have a filter, it's okay. It's good. That's from a bacher. We have a few other things here. For a Mac device, my new favorite line about Mac devices is your Mac Shemoy Vizukhroi, simply because on a Mac, as of now, there is no proper filter for a Mac computer. Gentech is working on it. This must be coming out with something soon. It's out. It's in beta. It's in beta.
Oh, it is.
It's in beta. It's not for, it's not out. Testing stage. Yeah. No, give it to you, but it's not.
Now we know where the Mac is. You.
No, you could technically put it on. It's good to put it on for you, but it's not on the market long enough. You have it on by you? They're coming out. They're testing it now, so you could be a part of the test if you're willing to. But not always is that successful. Could be it's going to be good. The only other thing you could do for a Mac computer is making an account, an administrator account on your computer, with you being the secondary account, the guest account, and then you put Apple restrictions. The admin, whoever has the admin account, can put the Apple restrictions on for you. There's something called WebCover. They also have filtering, but I don't suggest it, but they do have something called WebCover, which means it's basically, it works through a Amish program called...
What?
Amish? Yeah. Common Dies. Amish are very strong about this. Common Dies is the main company, but you do through, it's called WebCover. What it does is, what it did till now was it sent reports of your logs to your web copy if there's anything short of bad. They just now are in the middle of coming out with it's supposed to be unbelievable technology if it works well. And then what they're doing is, let me back up one step. Till now it was a little bit shaky because you have to use their browser in order for it to work. There were ways around it. You have to want to be good. Now they're coming out with a new technology where it basically is the commentizer will be taking screenshots randomly screenshots of your screen throughout the day, and we'll be sending it. One second, let me finish the whole sentence. It'll be sending it to your web cover, okay? It'll be sending two groups of pictures, one of random pictures that are not considered problematic, so they can match it, and if anything's problematic, it'll send it as well. However, the Amish are very machmir that no one should see bad sites. So therefore, what they're doing is they're putting on a double layer of tishtush, I don't say it in English. Blurring it with a double layer blur, and if your web cover has a question and he wants to look at it deeper, he could remove only one of those layers. He'll never be able to see your bank. He'll never be able to see your bank information or anything really bad. That's their promise. Web cover, the price is $5 a month. Same price. The web cover, again, you should really be only using web cover as an addition to your filter, because there's two parts of the internet that are problematic. One is the things you do yourself when you're in a bad place, you look for bad things, and the other part of it is when they send you things, right? They like sending you a lot of things, right? I don't do news on the Yeshiva World News Brochure, I'm not doing any of that stuff. But I was one time on Matzah, something like that. I was just astounded at how many things are blinking at the same time. Like, not for me. But I'm from a different generation, I told you. Right? But again, WebCover will help you that you'll not, go to do bad things, but will not stop you from seeing things you shouldn't see. So you need to have both a filter and WebCover. We're almost done here. I just want to tell you all that you all have the ability, right, to make this decision. It's in your hands. You're fighting against a big fight, but you could all be the Vladik. You could all be the guy who takes it. And remember, the choice is yours. Choose wisely. We have these pamphlets that we're giving out. We just made them. We have to thank Zevi Kaplan, put a lot of effort into it. I just want to give one explanation. There's a few different parts to it. There's text in here, which part of what we spoke about, and also part of the speech we didn't say. But there's, in the middle here, there's a lot of information, interesting information about the internet, about its statistics, about how much is going on in the internet minute. We're not going to go through, you can all see yourself. But before we do that, I just want to explain to you why we did that for, right? Someone asked me, a bacher asked me, so, okay, great, so I'm just like everyone else, right? There's 38 million messages in 60 seconds going on in WhatsApp or whatever it is, right? So I'm there too. So you'll see what we wrote about it, right? You have to decide where you are, and who you're associating yourself with. So.